Dreamscape presents The Divine Dance by Richard Rohr with Mike Morrell. Narrated by Arthur Morey. Introduction. Six Impossible Things Before Breakfast. The Blessed Trinity is supposed to be a central, even the paramount, foundational doctrine of our entire Christian belief system. And yet we're told, at least I was told as a young boy in Kansas, that we shouldn't try to understand it. Just believe it, we were admonished. But there it stopped. Irish-born Sister Ephraim just held up the shamrock to my totally trustful third-grade class. We surely believed, if not in the Trinity, at least in her earnest Irish faith. Although maybe that is exactly how the divine flow has to start, with sharing a bit of earnest and deep goodness. Yet it was indeed a mystery, sort of a mathematical conundrum to test our ability to believe impossible things to be true. You would have thought believing six impossible things before breakfast was the actual goal of my pre-Vatican II Catholic training. But later, I found my Protestant friends had approximately the same approach to faith. It merely involved different impossibilities, usually things that happened in the Bible. They didn't seem to appreciate inner experience too much either. And here I am, some 60 years later, presuming to try to breach this impenetrable mystery. Shall we dare to try? I suppose this is the only real way we can join in the dance. Trinity, MIA. Let's begin with the shocking and oft-quoted idea from Karl Rahner, the German Jesuit who was such a major influence at the Second Vatican Council. In his classic study, The Trinity, he said, "Christians are, in their practical life, almost mere monotheists. We must be willing to admit that, should the doctrine of the Trinity have to be dropped as false, the major part of religious literature could well remain virtually unchanged." We would have to admit this was largely true until William Paul Young wrote his worldwide best-selling novel, The Shack, in the past decade. For the first time since 4th century Cappadocia, the Trinity actually became an inspired subject of conversation and rather pleasant questioning in homes and restaurants. And it continues. But 17 centuries of being missing in action, how could this have been true? Could this absence help us understand how we might still be in the infancy stage of Christianity? Could it help explain the simple ineffectiveness and lack of transformation we witness in so much of the Christian world? When you are off at the center, the whole edifice is quite shaky and unsure of itself. If Trinity is supposed to describe the very heart of the nature of God, and yet it has almost no practical or pastoral implications in most of our lives, if it's even possible that we could drop it tomorrow and it would be a forgettable, throwaway doctrine, then either it can't be true, or we don't understand it. Since you're listening to this, I'm going to guess that somewhere you believe it must somehow be true. In the pages that follow, I'm going to simply circle around this most paradoxical idea about the nature of God. And in truth, circling around is actually an apt metaphor for this mystery that we're trying to apprehend. There is no other way to appreciate mystery. Remember, mystery isn't something that you cannot understand. It is something that you can endlessly understand. There is no point at which you can say, "I've got it." Always and forever, mystery gets you. Circling around is all we can do. Our speaking of God is a search for similes, analogies, and metaphors. All theological language is an approximation, offered tentatively in holy